With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, everyone. This is a D-Rays Bay podcast special. The Rays have got their white whale. Nelson Cruz acquired from the Minnesota Twins in exchange for Joe Ryan and Drew Strootman. But Nelson Cruz is a Ray. How awesome is that?
This is a fantastic day.
I didn't even introduce you.
That's fine. I've already drained my scotch from my Tropicana Field glass here. There was no better beverage appropriate for acquiring old ass Nelson Cruz. I don't know if I can say
age
that.
Age to perfection. It's called age to perfection. Much like that scotch, aged in a cask beautifully.
I mean, I think this scotch was younger now than Nelson Cruz's professional career.
Quite possible. Quite possible.
As you've heard, we've got Danny Russell here and Darby Robinson on the podcast. Instant react. But yeah, this is a fun day. I think a day that we
I just want you to know, I've already got prepared right here. I've got already prepared my Tampa Bay Rays number 23 home run hitting shirtsy. It's ready to go. I'm just going to have to put duct tape over the part that says Pena, and then I'll put Cruz on it.
Check out this novelty boomstick. Nelson Cruz, Seattle Mariner. This is great for a visual gags for an audio medium, but I'm holding up a Funko Pop that I got a couple years ago when Nelson Cruz was still in Seattle as a nice giveaway.
Brett's going to take a great screenshot right now, and this is going to be the podcast image right here.
I have no Nelson Cruz memorabilia. But I did pack him in MLB The Show like an hour ago. So
congrats. I have no idea what that means.
He was only worth like 1,100 steps. That's not
good for you, or I'm sorry. I'm not reading all that.
But how can you not be excited about this, right?
Like Dwayne Stats, the introing Eric Neander on the phone to talk about this trade, which wasn't even official yet. That's how excited people were. Eric Neander is on the phone with BA and Dwayne. The trade is not finalized, and he's talking about the trade openly. It's just a rare situation. And Dwayne Stats intros Eric Neander by saying that he had just accomplished one of the biggest trades in franchise history. Wild. That's a hot take.
This is the first big splash of the, you know, going into the trade deadline. We've seen some other, like Jock Peterson was traded. There's been other moves. But the Rays, who are in a pennant chase, going out and getting Nelson Cruz, this is the first big splash. The Rays have never been the team. They've made some splashes at the deadline before, don't get me wrong. But to be the team that comes out and does
all
it first.
All due respect to David DeJesus.
Exactly. And a lot of times the big splashes they're making are sending big-time players to other teams. So to see them go out and bring in Nelson Cruz, it does feel like a day of victory, not just for this season, but it feels like this is something we've been hoping for several years now, that the Rays are going to get Nelson Cruz. They finally do, and it ruins, you know, we had this whole week planned out next week. It's going to be a huge trade deadline week in terms of content, and the Rays come in on the 22nd and get us started, so we're here recording this podcast now.
That article I had in draft that was talking about how the player comp for a big deal position player to be moved is Manny Machado, and trades for position players are easy because the value is very low and you should just do them. And my whole take around that now has to be reworked into a past tense context. But let the record show on this pod, it's already in development. Y'all have seen me talking about it in the Slack.
I mean, Nelson Cruz, he's going to be the everyday DH. He is one of those names now, I think, for Kevin Cash that you can write early on in your lineup card right away every single day in that DH slot. And as a fan, you know, I know the Rays like to mix around with the lineup. They've only had, I think, two of the same lineup the entire season. As a fan, though, it makes me feel, and I talked about it with Willy Adames when the Rays had Willy Adames, a guy that's going to be in the lineup every day and you know what position he's going to play, you know what spot he's going to be in the lineup. I don't know, just a good feeling as a fan. So to see them get Nelson Cruz, because really, like right now in the current makeup of the roster, besides Kevin Kiermaier, there's not a guy that you're writing in pen on the lineup card every single day.
Whoa, Kevin Kiermaier is not in pen either.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, he's like maybe the closest to that, or Wander Franco, but he doesn't have a position like that he's locked into.
Gosh, who is the most consistently played player on the Tampa Bay Rays? Is
Brandon
Mike Zunino?
Brandon Lau at second base, but he's going into Zunino, outfield.
Randy and left field, but even they pretty consistent.
They move around left, right. Randy's
I would
DH
say
thumb,
it,
Brandon
in
Lau
a given week,
around.
Or actually, I would say most Rays players are playing 4 out of 6 days. I would think that if you were to look to zoom out and think about the way that Kevin Cash and company are managing this Rays roster, I would think most players are getting 1 or 2 days off per week, whether that's a scheduled off day in the rotation so that there's only 6 games that week. If there is 7 games that week, I would imagine you're getting at least 2 games off. I think that's everybody. That's Taylor Walls. That's G Major. It's everybody.
So
which is really important again to keep people fresh. Like that, one of the big debates we were having with like adding a Nelson Cruz who cannot play in the field at all. He did say like, if a National League team traded for me, I'd give it a shot, which is very much like an agent saying, just go ahead and say that, because I don't think anybody was like, yeah, we need Nelson Cruz patrolling right field at age 41. You add him to the DH, that means that is the DH, right? You're not going to have anybody better hitting than him. So you put him in DH, and that means you're not getting to put Lau or Meadows or Randy. You're not giving that natural rest break, but adding another bat like Nelson, that does mean that you can give some more natural breaks. Maybe against a tough lefty, Meadows does sit for the day and then maybe just pinch hits late in the game instead of having that, you know, have that day off, or Lau takes the day off.
Well,
or
what
Randy
the Rays,
a spell.
What the Rays needed was a right-handed complement at designated hitter. And so they went bigger than that, right? This is an everyday player, but the added value from that is you're not picking up another platoon. So I think there actually is a strategic advantage in this, because you're expecting Nelson Cruz to play every day. It allows you to have a deeper bench overall, instead of choosing a part-time player to add to the Rays roster situation. You are adding in someone who can hit against righties and lefties at a very high level, despite age 41.
Nelson Cruz comes in. He's got 19 home runs, a 141 WRC plus. His WRC plus hasn't dipped below 130 since 2013, his last year with the Texas Rangers.
That's hilarious.
This is a guy that, like, it's not a late career resurgence. Like, he's been doing this for a decade. He's been hitting at this level. He's got like 4 or 5 40 home run seasons. He could probably not get to 40 this year, but you know, we'll get to 30.
I mean, he might.
We hope so. I mean, yeah, you know, he's with the Rays now, so who knows? But this is a big time bat. Like, can you guys think of the Rays mid season trading for a bat of this caliber ever?
On offense, no. But also, offense deadline acquisitions are just not typically a big deal. I think that's my general takeaway, is normally it's big splashes of pitchers that get moved at this time. It's normally not the hitters.
The hitter splashes usually come in the off season. You kind of build around it. It's really hard to just add a bat to like a lineup. I mean, you, for the Rays, Tommy Pham, Austin Meadows, like, gave a huge offensive boost after they acquired them. But on, like, not of this caliber. I mean, the thing is this caliber. Like, we cannot undersell enough that Nelson Cruz is one of the 20 best hitters in baseball every year for the last 10 years. Like, that, just bar none. And that's maybe setting a little too low, because you might actually put him a little higher than that. But
sure,
fair minimum.
And even right now, that's also true. He is in the 98th percentile for exit velocity on his batted balls. The dude's 41. It just continues.
His strikeout rate has dropped like 10% from last year. Like he was striking out like a 27% clip. This year down to 18.2.
That's what's really fascinating about Nelson Cruz is that when you think of power hitters around the league, you think of strikeouts. They are people that keep their A swing. They don't adjust. They don't want to choke up because you want to get as many good swings off as possible. Nelson Cruz, whatever he does, he's like a contact guy who also happens to hit for a ton of power. He doesn't strike out at an exorbitant rate. Like Brett said, it's actually gone down. He walks over 10%. So he gets on base that way. He just also happens to slug nearly 600 every single year. So that is a unbelievable. We talk about Joey Gallo as one of those white whale things that we always want to sign. Joey Gallo strikes out almost 40% of the time. Like he has huge holes in his swing. Nelson Cruz is kind of almost is a very rare hitter in the modern game in the way he does this much power without the strikeouts.
But Joey Gallo is a fan white whale. I would actually agree with Eric Neander when he said that this trade was like 3 or 4 years in the making. The Rays very much appeared to have set up the roster and were pursuing Nelson Cruz back in 2016. And he surprised the Rays by taking a 3-year deal from the Twins when they put it on the table in December and basically said, like, if you want 3 years, you need to say yes to us now. And they forced his hand, right? Nelson Cruz also, by all accounts, freaking loves playing for the Twins. The culture on that organization is amazing. And it's a great franchise to play with. It's a great ballpark to play in. I don't blame him at all for loving the situation that he was in. If the Twins wanted to give me millions of dollars, I also would move to Minnesota for that. I mean, why not? My point being, he had a really great situation there, but the Rays were second place in that. The Rays thought that they were going to get Nelson Cruz all the way back then, and it didn't work out. So this coming full circle is really nice for the front office and not just for the fans, but something the front office has wanted for a long time. And it's also just in time for the Rays to finish this Cleveland series, and then it's New York and Boston.
Yeah, what a fun present to just unveil to their next round of these rival games. So I was looking up the numbers just because it's just super fun. And Nelson Cruz on the Rays will be the guy that has the best WRC plus of anybody on the team. He will have the best slugging percentage of anybody on the team. He'll have the best WOBA, weighted on base average, of anybody on the team. He will have the third best on base percentage. Can you name the two players who have a better on base percentage than Nelson Cruz? This is by
Yandy Diaz.
0.001 and 0.002. Yandy is one. He is 0.001 better at 371.
I mean, Yandy was my guess. Is the other option Taylor Walls or something random?
Oh, not a bad guess. Taylor's up there. It is the other big slugger, but from the left-hand side, G-Man Choi.
Yeah.
So
he just had a crucial walk in the game that's happening as we're recording.
Yeah. So what you're seeing there is that you have these Choi and Diaz are still here, so they're great on-base threats. You still have crazy power guys like Meadows and Lau, who have both been really red hot, and Randy Arozarena, who is tapping into the lava that he had last postseason. So you add Nelson Cruz, just gives you that, it just stretches the lineup. It makes the lineup thicker. It makes the entire lineup harder to get through each time. And the other name we haven't even mentioned is Wander Franco, who's definitely starting to get even more and more comfortable in the league. So throw a guy like this who can immediately be the best Rays hitter. And the team has not been bad at hitting, but he fits the need of just a great power hitter in the middle of the lineup. And he also hits extremely well against left-handed pitching. It's just a huge, huge addition. Like it fills a huge need. It does offer some questions, but it fills a massive, massive need.
The Rays have not felt great against left-handed pitching, but if you look it up, the whole league has been doing poorly against left-handed pitching. It's kind of an awkward time to have quality right-handed hitters. It almost makes Nelson Cruz even more valuable of an acquisition, no?
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like everybody wants their team to hit better against left-handed pitching. You know, and it's and usually your team's a lot better at hitting left-handed pitching than you think it is. Like you said, I think the Rays are right around league average, maybe a hair below, maybe even a hair above. But adding Nelson Cruz definitely doesn't hurt the way your lineup looks facing lefties, which there are plenty of good lefties in the AL East and in the AL, as we hope the Rays go into October.
You know, Cruz, if Chris Sale makes it back healthy, the Rays will have a nice, fun person there waiting for him. So,
rock, paper, scissors. Nelson Cruz, I'm wondering where he's hitting in the lineup. This thought had not crossed my mind at all yet. I'm imagining that as a right-handed option and facing right-handed pitching, that he would hit third. I'm going to look it up to see where he typically hits. I'm imagining it's third or fourth in a lineup.
So third has been kind of Franco's spot. He's been there most games. I think out of any other spot in the lineup, Meadows has been hitting fourth. He's already been Nelson Cruz has already been removed off the Twins roster resource page, so I can't look at that.
Erased from the existence. I'll look up his game logs.
Okay, so it looks like last season this season he's predominantly hit third. 2020, he has 39 games hitting third, 13 hitting fourth. And then if I go back to 2019, I mentioned this because, again, age, comfort. I mean, Evan Longoria hit third because he pretty much demanded and begged that he hit third because that's where he was comfortable. And if that's where players are comfortable. Oh, Nelson Cruz played 114 games hitting third and only 6 games hitting elsewhere in the lineup in 2019.
Kevin Cash has talked about when Wander came up and he hit second and everybody thought, oh, maybe he'll hit sixth in his debut. Cash said, well, he's never hit that, you know, far down in the lineup in his life. Why would we change that now? So the Rays do have kind of this reputation for putting guys where they're comfortable, where they think they can succeed. So I think, yeah, third would make sense. You can shift Wander either down to two or to four or to five, keep Meadows where he's at. I mean, this is the rest of the players in this lineup, I think, are pretty fluid in where they can end up. But it wouldn't shock me if Cruz is penciled in as the number three hole guy.
Number two hitter, Wander Franco.
Could be there, but it also could still be playoff Randy. So who knows?
We do need to have Wander and Cruz next to each other for that double the age.
Yeah, Nelson Cruz could be his father.
So now with adding Nelson Cruz, the Rays have two 41-year-olds, him and Rich Hill.
Former teammates?
I mean, man, I didn't even realize that, but like they've also played on half the league. So probably, yeah, I mean.
I mean, fair enough. I think they've played on the Twins together.
Yeah, they did play on the Twins. And did he ever play on the Rangers? Maybe he did. But yeah, so that you have two veterans, and it's still one of the youngest lineups, though, in like one of the youngest rosters. So it is an interesting mix where you add two 41-year-olds and you still are one of the youngest rosters. But
is it one of the youngest? I guess Brandon Lau's 27, G-Man Choi's in his 30s, Nelson Cruz is in his 40s, Austin Meadows is 26, Randy's 26.
You have Walls.
Joey Wendell is in his late 30s at this point. Wander's 20, I'll give that to you. But Zunino, KK, those are dudes in their 30s. Yandy Diaz is in his 30s. I don't know, I would be surprised if the Rays...
There's a lot of guys that are 30, not in their 30s yet, like Zunino. Okay.
Well, so, as someone in their 30s, it doesn't feel meaningfully different once that three is there.
Yeah, so it's an interesting mix of guys that are in their, you know, you have two guys in their 40s, a couple guys in their young 30s, and then a bunch of absolute babies. And so it's an interesting roster. Adding a guy like this, just it is nice to have in that roster a guy that you can potentially just have as this. I don't believe in the whole idea of roster protection, making it better for guys ahead of them. I think that's been kind of long kind of disproven as a theory, but it is nice to have a guy that you can potentially get that two out hit, right? That the pitcher does not have a let up. So they can maybe get through Lau and they can maybe get through Wander or Randy, but then suddenly now there's Nelson Cruz. So you got to do your best. If you lose Cruz, now it's Meadows. Okay, but now you lose him, and then there's Choi who can like potentially get. So you just have another person that you have to do a pitch after a pitch after a pitch, and if you make a mistake, he will destroy it like he's done for so long, and that just adds that one more person that could potentially take those lopsided innings that the Rays have when they are winning, they get, and when they're not, they're leaving the chicken on the bone. If you have another guy that could potentially knock in those runners from second that the Rays are getting plenty of people onto, that really could change a lot of games. The Rays don't need a lot of runs to win, and Nelson Cruz can provide just enough runs alone to change some games.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Randy got to start the inning at second base, and he scored on an Austin Meadows single. So the Rays are up 5-4 in extras.
We are, as you could probably tell, we were recording during Thursday night's game against Cleveland.
This is one of the last pre-Boomstick Rays games.
You know what this trade kind of feels like?
What?
You know, like when you watch, one of the Star Wars movies, and then for the next 2 years, everybody on message boards, oh, this is what I want to see this character do in the next movie. And then sometimes, like in Star Wars Episode 9, you just get a whole lot of fan service. I feel like this trade, we've been talking about it. We've written mocks on the site. We've sent texts. We've sent tweets. We've been in the Slack talking, how can we get Nelson Cruz for at least a couple years now? And then Mr. Eric Neander comes in and sprinkles a little magic dust and gives us that fan service. It's just a good feeling. I don't know.
I mean, Episode 9 is legitimately the worst out of the 9 Star Wars movies.
I know. This is a terrible comparison.
It is objectively the worst thing that ever happened to Star Wars.
This will be better than bringing back Palpatine. This will be, I think, a much better move than bringing back Palpatine. Let's just say that.
You got the point.
There's someone in baseball every year who has to put his hands on his hips, sigh, and go, I don't know how, but somehow Nelson Cruz is back.
there's a good reference for all the Episode 9 heads out there. Okay, so here's the thing with this trade too, that's super exciting, legitimately exciting, is that it's the trade that the Rays usually don't do. Like when they make a trade that maybe wins the deadline, like when they got Nick Anderson, where they got the best reliever traded at the deadline, nobody knew who Nick Anderson was. Baseball people knew, like, so it was like, oh, this guy's going to light it up. And he did. But he's not the sexy name, right? He is not the guy that people know. He's not like trading for Aroldis Chapman or Andrew Miller at those times. This is the big sexy name. Like, this is going to be potentially the best hitter traded at the deadline. Probably the best hitter traded at the deadline. I would say Nelson Cruz is a better hitter than Trevor Story, who could be traded at the deadline.
Don't sleep on Trevor Story's ability to hit. I mean, Nelson Cruz is objectively a better hitter, but
like, I am not sleeping on Trevor. Trevor Story is the better player overall because
that's where I was going with that.
The better hitter. I'm talking only best hitter traded, and that's the key difference, right? That is the downside of Nelson Cruz is he can't play the field, but pure
Trevor
hitter,
Story. Trevor Story also might get traded like to play shortstop. Not to play shortstop, to play like center field or something too. So the Trevor Story written is still being written. I am losing the thread.
There is better players that could be traded for sure. And there might be even bigger
pictures. The Trevor Story is still being written. That's what they're going to put in the New York Post when the
Red Sox trade for him.
Right out from under Cashman.
They're going to get him right out from under Cashman.
Aaron Hicks is on the IL for the rest of the year, isn't he? Didn't he have wrist surgery?
He is. He's gone. They have Brett Gardner. Cashman's going to make them play Brett Gardner in center field until the sun burns out. But no, this is the thing. This is a huge trade, right? This is the type of trade that SportsCenter leads with. This is the type of trade that's on like the MLB Network. This is the type of trade that you get your random like side things coming in. Like this is the uniform swap. This is the type of guy that is a big deal traded. And he is going to be one of the most impactful like people to get. Like, this is judging by the cost to acquire him, other teams were calling the Twins. His value was high enough that it took two pretty good pitching prospects to get him, even for a rental. And that's because people wanted to get a big hitter.
We should probably talk about the rest of the trade, but I do want to finish talking about the deadline. I mean, we should also see the Cubs blow it up at some point here, and that would not surprise me. Anthony Rizzo is probably going to get posted. I would not be shocked if the Red Sox were the ones to pursue him. I know that they've got Dahlbeck or whatever at first base, but Rizzo is probably available.
You
want to talk about Rays white whales, Craig Kimbrell.
Craig Kimbrell is probably going to be out there. Maybe he is how the Rays make room with the for Nelson Cruz. We should talk about his fit into the overall 26-man roster in a second. Chris Bryant, another player who could go to the Yankees. I mean, honestly, Chris Bryant makes way more sense for the Yankees, in my opinion, than it does for
the Yankees. Getting good players would totally make sense for them, but it's going to be a matter of whether other teams want to jump in there too. I mean,
they got Miguel Andujar, they could trade.
I think you look at some teams that are out there, like, do the Red Sox try to add?
Miguel Andujar can land you Trevor Story, apparently.
Just one for one, 1v1.
And Chris Bryant, it's a three team, trade, but only one team gets Andujar.
It's going to be an interesting thing. The White Sox could be involved in some trades.
Sure.
Or they just decide their trade deadline is getting Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez back. Again, rest in peace, Eloy. Getting those guys back is a pretty big trade deadline. And that could be the similar offensive trade deadline for the White Sox as the Rays have for their pitching, which is Tyler Glasnow, Chris Archer comes back. Like, you just sort of say, like...
And Nick Anderson and
Oliver Drake for like the middle of the
relief. Before we finish talking about the Nelson Cruz trade, all the other pieces, the 26 man roster here is about to get crowded because Manuel Margot is about to come back off the injured list, which makes it 14 position players if you add Nelson Cruz to the mix, which means you only have 12 pitchers. And right now, six of those pitchers are like the starters. It's very confusing. The Rays are at least. Unless they plan on making another trade, they're going to have to option people. And maybe it's just the Durham shuttle running and you start doing things like optioning Jeffrey Springs alongside Mazza and Rasmussen and Patino. Maybe Fleming gets optioned as well as you're trying to shuffle players back and forth and mix and match and make it work. But that's hard to do for the rest of the season, especially when you have so many players coming off the injured list on the pitching side. Fingers crossed, Tyler Glasnow, but Chris Archer, Nick Anderson. I don't know how many of the other guys are coming back, but Ryan Thompson and JP Fire Rising could presumably come back soon. Like, it's about to get super complicated.
And right now, it looks like by my quick napkin math here, it looks like the Rays are at 39 on the 40-man roster because both Joe Ryan and Drew Stroutman, who were the...
Ryan was not a 40-man. I made this mistake earlier today. He was not on yet.
Okay. So one of the things that will be happening soon, Chris Archer did get moved to the 60-day IL. And he pitched again tonight, rehab assignment with Durham. Nick Anderson's been throwing long toss. Oliver Drake has also been looking like he is getting closer. So those are three pitchers that could be potentially coming back in August, looks like, or within the next several weeks. That's three spots on the 40-man roster that need to be cleared, let alone the 26. So there is, I think, let's just say the Rays are not done at the deadline. Now the big moves may be done, but like there could be some still big names moved before this is all said and done.
Right. I mean, so Brennan McKay is still kind of working his way back. He could go back to the injured list, and it would not surprise me if they just shut him down again because the shoulder surgery recovery is difficult. He's throwing one inning at a time right now. He's throwing in the mid-80s. He's not himself yet.
His long-term recovery is more important than worrying about like getting up this year's for sure.
So. You don't have to keep Mike Ford. I know he's hitting dingers for Durham and that's fun, but he could go off the list.
I don't know how married you need to be to Lewis Head and Ryan Sheriff and Sean Poppin, but those are dudes that are periphery 40-man roster. And so then you got dudes you can trade, right? There are plenty of guys in this 40-man roster mix who could be trade bait, both because they might have value and opportunity in other places, or because the Rays want to cash those in for a trade for someone like Kimbrel. I don't know what the Cubs are looking for. If they're blowing it up and they're trying to move three dudes at the trade deadline, God bless them. I don't know what they are on the lookout for. The Twins seem to have demanded Joe Ryan. So here you go. Here's Joe Ryan. So maybe the Cubs have their own demands and needs and concerns. I'm not expecting a popular name to move. By popular, I mean like Kevin Kiermaier, Brett Phillips. I know those two dudes are left-handed hitters who play the same position, but I'm expecting both of them to stick around. Those seem like difficult players to get a return in such a way that the Rays are getting value in the same way that they value those players, because the defense mm-hmm. is overly valued. You would need another team to say, oh yeah, we totally respect that you think Kevin Kiermaier is outperforming his contract, right? Not a lot of teams agree with the Rays on that, but that's what they're willing to spend, and their math works that way. Brett Phillips the same way. You put Brett Phillips and Manuel Margot together in this platoon, and they're, you know, ascendant. They're one of the best players in baseball when their powers are combined, right? So I don't expect those players to get moved. But, you know, Mike Brusso, yeah, Brett. Joey Wendell, all-star Joey Wendell, excuse me, now that we have all-star Nelson Cruz.
Some respect on that name.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, there are players that could be valued by their franchises and could be on the move for sure.
Totally. I think there is an interesting question, right, with this outfield. We were crowded, and now with Nelson Cruz, he's not an outfielder. He will never see the field you know what? Kevin Cash is kind of crazy. He might just throw him out there for like an inning just for fun, but he will never see any kind of meaningful innings with
the Rays. Does Nelson Cruz even have a glove? Like, does he keep a glove with him?
I am told he brings three gloves with him to the park every day. A first base glove, an infield glove, and an outfield glove.
In case anyone else needs him.
I just want to see Nelson Cruz just like lined up at here's the thing.
Nelson Cruz, the second baseman, is what I'm thinking about right now.
The Rays just love acquiring second basemen, and they heard Nelson Cruz had a second baseman's glove, and they were like, we're in. Finally, we're in. No, you add him in there, and that does take like a spot. So now how do you fit this outfield with Austin Meadows, with Kevin Kiermaier, Brett Phillips, Manuel Margot when he's healthy, and Randy Arozarena? That's five outfielders for three spots. And that's not like talking about adding, you know, potentially Brandon Lau, who's been playing a little bit of outfield. That's not potentially adding in like Vidal Brujan later. I mean, I think for right now we see Brujan is down for the foreseeable future, is going to get his consistent playing time in Durham mm-hmm. because there's no room. It's going to be an interesting mix, but what we have seen this year that Kevin Cash has done is all of these outfielders are playing. Like nobody's just riding the pine. Everybody's playing. And oftentimes it's everybody in the same game. So you mm-hmm. could probably see a game where you have Meadows and Randy and Kiermaier out there. And then if the Rays are leading, they're turning it over to the pen. Suddenly Meadows, they got enough offense. We're going to bring in Margot or Phillips to now create a pretty dynamic outfield. And you're probably never going to see the eighth or ninth inning, if there is a lead, not have one of the best defensive outfields in baseball. Like when the Rays have a lead late in the game, they will have the best defensive outfield in all of baseball most nights.
Sure.
And I could see the team actually seeing the value in not, like you said, Danny, not trading or moving a Brett Phillips and a Kiermaier, because potentially together they are more valuable when you have to play Meadows mm-hmm. in the field more, because suddenly now he does become a liability late in the game, but suddenly that liability becomes a strength because you replace him with two center fielders.
You know, I hate to say it, but do you start platooning Randy Arozarena a little bit? I mean, out of all the Rays position players in the last week, only one position player has played every day, and that's Randy. I looked it up just kind of going back the last six games. Brandon Lau played five of the last six, four of those in the outfield.
not at second base. G-Man Choi has played four of the last six. Austin Meadows has played five of the last six, two of those starting in the outfield. Joey Wendell has played four of the last six. Wander has played five. Zunino doesn't really count because he's somewhat hurt. And KK has played four of the last six, right? So, I don't know.
I don't know about platoon, but I could see a lot of rest. I mean, I think especially the second half of this season, the Rays are in a good spot. They're only a half game back going into tonight against for the top spot in the AL East. They have a pretty strong lead, 3.5 games in the wild card over the second place wild card team. I think the Rays value the what rest gives them. And I think you could see maybe not having these guys have to go every single day down the stretch. Now, there could be some key games, but yeah, maybe there's a tough righty and you just say, you know what, Randy, this is a good day to get a rest. There's a tough lefty, one of Lau or Meadows, maybe both, just say like, you know what, today we'll just give you a rest. Maybe you need it later, but today this is a good rest day. And you allow them to be healthy, full of energy, ready to go come October or the end of September when you might need to really turn it on. I think the Rays, and that can sometimes frustrate some fans. I get it, where Kevin Cash won't necessarily go for the jugular every game with the bullpen, with his pitching staff, with his players. But I think there's a strong emphasis on this team of the full marathon. They're not going to win the lap. They're going to win the race, and they have to.
For sure.
Sometimes
this is the second time in this conversation we've talked about Kevin Cash mixing and matching his days off. Both times we've talked about it as a strength. The roster will sort itself out. Let's talk about the other pieces that were involved in the Nelson Cruz trade, because I think that's worth revisiting, even though we kind of said their names very quickly. So one would be, oh, the Rays just won. Winners in 10.
Danny, real quick, I think your mic disconnected.
In extra innings.
Oh.
Extra innings. The Rays, Nelson Cruz has been a Ray only on paper for minutes, and they've already won in extra innings. Look at that.
All right. Is my microphone working?
Yes.
Let's revisit this trade detail around the players that were actually moved. We've talked a lot about Nelson Cruz. We've talked a lot about lineup construction. The Rays did deal from a position of strength, from their enormous depth as the best farm system in all of baseball. The best farm system, even if you graduate Wander Franco, which is insane. They moved two pitchers, one being Joe Ryan, probably the more famous one. Because he is on the Olympic roster. He's in Japan right now playing for Team USA alongside his fellow AAA Rays prospect, Shane Baz. Joe Ryan is famous for his invisiball, if you will, his fastball that just seems like it literally disappears on hitters and no one can touch it. The stat guys, the analytics dudes in front offices don't understand it as well as the scout guys who go out there and they just watch him pitch and go, wow, this is amazing. And they also dealt a 40-man rostered pitcher in Drew Strootman, who had to be added to the 40-man roster due to the Rule 5 draft. He would have been taken because R&D portions of front office were freaking out about his stuff, right? He had to be protected and wait for a moment that the Rays could harness that value either by promotion or trade. Trade is the way that it came about. Darby, what are your feelings on what the Rays gave up?
I think both Joe Ryan and Drew Strootman are interesting pitchers. They're good prospects. And I think for the Twins, if you're a Twins fan, I think this is a really good return for Nelson Cruz. Joe Ryan in particular, I'm very intrigued by him. Let's just say this. I absolutely totally understand the doubts about him, but I do like the fact, similar to Colin Poche, there's just something weird about his fastball that makes it work. It doesn't look good on paper. It doesn't look great on paper, I should say. It looks fine on paper. It's just, it works so much better than it really should. And I do kind of like that. I think Strootman is an interesting pitcher. I think he walks a lot of people for a starter. That might work well as a bullpen guy, but that's also very valuable in the modern game, especially multi-inning guys. I think at the end of the day, though, what I see here is one guy on the 40 man, another guy that's going to have to be added soon. Both guys that would be back into the rotation or bullpen guys in the near future. And the Rays have a very deep system and a big roster crunch that we talked about earlier. I think at some point, if you can take two guys who don't really factor into the top of your rotation or the top of your bullpen in the immediate or near future and turn that into a huge major league player, a huge impact for this year, I think you got to do that. And I think that's why this is a fine trade for both teams. I think if you're a Rays fan, I think you got to be happy because these are pieces that you want to consolidate into a Nelson Cruz. And if you're the Twins, I think for a rental, I think you got two really good pieces to build around. And Ryan's pretty exciting. You're going to watch him hopefully at the Olympics, absolutely shove for Team USA. But yeah, I think these are the type of pieces that we've been wanting the Rays to kind of put together and trade for that kind of immediate impact. You kind of need to put these 40-man pieces together to equal something before they're lost for nothing.
I mean, I agree with the reasonableness. Brett, what is your take on this trade?
I mean, I think straight up value, look, you're probably getting in a regular season 300 to 350 plate appearances from a DH, no matter how good that is, in terms of like wins above replacement. I could see Joe Ryan and Drew Strootman, you know, going on to have, you know, okay MLB careers with Minnesota or whoever. So in a straight up trade, like, yeah, maybe the trade calculator doesn't love this trade for the Rays. I actually don't know what it looked like in terms of numbers. But this is, you know, trades don't happen in a vacuum. There are multiple suitors. There are going to be multiple bidders for Nelson Cruz. And the Rays, you know, went out and got it. So I think you also look at Joe Ryan and Drew Strootman. Strootman always kind of seemed like to me for the Rays as a backup plan in terms of starting pitching. Never Joe Ryan seems like a guy that could, you know, hop into the rotation at some point, either this year or next, and contribute. Strootman's kept, you know, seemed like a guy that was just kind of being kept around. He was on the 40-man roster, could have filled in for some innings here and there, but was never a part of the big picture plans. So ultimately, I mean, yes, I think that these guys could go on to be big league pitchers and find big league pitchers, especially Joe Ryan. But it's not one of those trades that, like, if you're a Rays fan, you should look back and be like, oh, we missed out on Joe Ryan. Like, the Rays have plenty of other good starting pitching talent, and they went out and got Nelson Cruz. And who knows? That might not even work out. Like, again, it's 300 plate appearances. So there's so much variance in any 300 plate appearance, like, set. Like, we don't know what we're going to get out of Nelson Cruz. It's not going to be a full sample, and then he's probably going to walk at the end of the year. So, but these are the types of moves that I don't think the Rays have made in the past, and it's exciting to see them make now.
I do think one of the things about this trade that's entirely separate to it, right, is that Nelson Cruz has been interested by the Rays. Like, I don't think he, like Danny mentioned it, like this was a kind of a two-team race with the Twins and the Rays coming down to it. And he mentioned today that, you know, he's 41. He is kind of ring chasing, and the Rays are much better chance of getting back to the World Series than the Twins are right now. So this is exciting for him. I think there's, you know, if Nelson Cruz wants to play another year next year and the Rays want him back, I think money-wise that could totally work. And his comfortability, if he goes to Tampa or Tampa Bay and is like there in St. Pete in the Trop, and he really likes the atmosphere, he likes Kevin Cash, he likes the team, he likes what happens. If the Rays want him back and he wants to come back, I do think there is, you know, there's plenty of opportunities for him to return next year, potentially. He's going 1 year contracts from here on out anyway. So it's just a matter of who wants to keep paying him that 1 year deal. I just wanted to bring, because it doesn't matter at all. This doesn't matter, but it's a very fun site that we all love to look at. And it is the season of trade, so we always go to baseball trade values. So hat tip to them. They have ruined all of our work productivity in the month of July and sometimes beyond by just being a very fun site to sink some time in. It's a really fun resource. They did sort of say, like, this trade, plugging it in, Joe Ryan, medium value, $6 million, Drew Strootman, $2.4 million, Nelson Cruz, about $4.5 million, and Calvin
Focher. This is a family podcast. I assumed it was French.
I didn't expect you to speak.
I was thinking Fauché.
I was thinking Fauché. Meet the Fockers. Fauché and Fauché.
Oh, no, that just makes him even better of an acquisition. basically negligible there. So they said like mild to moderate overpay. So like every rental is that. Basically.
I mean, but, okay, so Fauché is a dude who maybe could ramp it up to 100 based on what reports you're reading, and then has like a little bit of a deception thing going on. So, I mean, that's the kind of guy the Rays succeed with.
How many people have they gotten that's like can get hit 100, has a weird breaking ball, and has some deception? It's like every Rays bullpen guy that's just like, they signed him for a minor league deal and he's lead the league in saves. I don't know how it happened. What happened? How did they do it again? When it comes to a rental, they're basically like, you're probably going to lose the trade in the aggregate. But that's not what those trades are about.
Yeah, that's not.
It's a matter of how much value can you get in that time that you get that player, and is that enough? And this is getting to the postseason, winning the division, getting to the World Series again move, and these are things that help that. So, yeah, hopefully Joe Ryan is awesome for the Twins. Like, you know, I think he's a really cool pitcher, and Drew Strotman as well. Like, I mean, I think those guys, a lot of Rays fans do have followed these guys through their minor league career. And, you know, you do get attached to these minor league, especially Rays fans, because we have such a great minor league system. There's so many people to root for. So don't stop rooting for them. They're really cool. And the Twins have Rocco Baldelli as their manager. So they're awesome. So root for them over there.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All I know is what I'm hearing out of this trade is that a very well-respected, top-performing athlete in his sport has reached his 40s and in seeking a championship ring has descended to Tampa Bay in pursuit of glory.
Where have I seen
How does
this
that
before?
Story play out?
It's worked pretty well. It ends up with a really, really cool ring oftentimes.
And a torn MCL. So let's hope knock on wood big time for that one. I'm so sorry for bringing that.
No one's asking Tom Brady to defend.
He's the DH of the gridiron. That's all you need to do. hat tip, by the way, to the Bucks. They're getting their rings tonight. So awesome. Awesome for them.
I don't know. Real, like, are you like this just, I don't care how this trade works out. Today was exciting. Tonight was exciting. The trade breaking, I think, shortly after 6 o'clock Eastern time, which is like right before the pregame show comes on. So you get Rich Hollenberg talking about it, and then Dwayne and BA talking about it to lead off the broadcast. The Rays going out to get the guy they want and to be the first of all teams to go out and make a big splash this month. Mm-hmm. That's just exciting. And it's not something we get to experience often.
I mean, it's a rare trade in baseball as a landscape, right?
Right.
These position player splashes are just rare on their own. And this was a weird season where we could see a few of them. And the Rays moving early might have even set the market to say, like, if this is what Nelson Cruz costs, if the Yankees want to pony up for a Bryant or a Story, they're going to have to pay way more. And that's also to the Rays' advantage.
And it's like, I'm in pennant chase mode now. Like, I was probably already getting there anyways, as we, you know, head closer to August, but now it feels like, even though they all mean the same amount, that every game just feels like it means a little bit more.
Sure. And, well, the Rays might make another move too, but they needed a shot in the arm. After Tyler Glasnow was injured, this team was listless. The All-Star game was a blessing just to get the players off the field and let them think about something else, right? Like, The impact of the Glasnow injury has been massive, and acquiring someone like Nelson Cruz hopefully changes that dynamic for the team.
This has been like a grueling season. Like, I don't think, it doesn't feel like that because they've played over the course of it, some really great baseball. But you think about some of the losing streaks. You talk about the Glasnow injury. You think about the innings that Rich Hill had to pick up in the month of May, where he had to battle through a lot of stuff to get to do that. This has been like a long season. It's the first full 162-game season in 2 years. And so I think these moments, and we always talk about, like, you know, Rays players leaving the clubhouse, Willy Adames, and how much that meant. I think it's really exciting for the guys in the clubhouse to see a veteran that's had success like Nelson Cruz come in. As fans, it's exciting, but as players, I can only imagine that it's even more exciting.
This is actually something I'm glad you brought this up, because it's something I think is part of the value of Nelson Cruz that we didn't mention, that every team that has had him has mentioned, is this is one of the best clubhouse guys in the sport, like in any sport. He is a bright personality who is just a generous and kind person with his teammates. So this is a type of guy that you want in the clubhouse to teach young players, to just watch and inspire them, like just by just being around and hanging out. And I think that's like it's a tough role to do that, but this is, Nelson Cruz does kind of remind me of Willy Adames, just a like deep into the future, Willy Adames, that type of guy that never lost that childlike joy of baseball, right? It's easy to be Brett Phillips and baseball is fun and hella, you know, airplaning around the infield because he's, you know, a young man still. But like Nelson Cruz he's basically the same level of like goofy and fun that he's been for 20 plus years in the major leagues. That is a big boost to a clubhouse. Like you want fun, and the Rays clubhouse is fun, and Nelson Cruz is a part of that. He's going to be a boost to the enjoyment and fun and keeping things loose, and also think keeping comfortable with how things work.
Also, he's just a threat too, right? Lineup construction wise, maybe you're pitching because you need to get through these guys to get to Meadows, or get through these guys to get to Randy if he's not leading off. And now you're thinking about Nelson Cruz. And as an opposing pitcher, that has to be terrifying, right? Like, I need to get through G-Man Choi to get to Nelson Cruz. Dang it. Right. It just changes the calculus a little bit.
You looked at like maybe the 2019 Yankees. Maybe I need to look back at their lineup, or the 2018 Red Sox, where it's like, wow, every one of these hitters in the 1 through 9 is a great hitter in their lineup. And the Rays have had some really good lineups too, even this year before the Nelson Cruz edition. But like on any given night, who's going to be the worst hitter in the lineup? Taylor Walls, maybe, like if he's playing that night and he's, you know, he's doing fine for a rookie. Like everyone else, you're going to have Wander Franco. You're going to have all-star Joey Wendell. You're going to have all-star Brandon Lau, Austin Meadows, Randy Arozarena, you know, Nelson Cruz now. Like this is a all-star Nelson Cruz.
All-star Mike Zunino.
All-star Mike Zunino. G-Man Choi, Yandy Diaz. Like these are the guys that are going to be making up the lineup. 1 to 9, like, yeah, we talk about Nelson Cruz going to go in the 3 spot. But like you can mix and match these guys almost any way, and it's still going to be a good lineup.
And even guys that like Taylor Walls or Kevin Kiermaier, they are potentially Kevin Kiermaier, platinum glove winner. Taylor Walls, future platinum glove winner. They are bringing that huge value. Kevin Kiermaier's got some pop. Like we saw in October, he can hit some home runs. He can do some stuff at the plate. He can run into some stuff. Taylor Walls is a pesky hitter. He's a great eye for the zone and will draw walks as well. So you have guys like Yandy and Walls who can annoy the heck out of a pitcher just by like taking pitches and fouling stuff off and drawing walks. And then you have Nelson Cruz up there to just intimidate everybody by being the boomstick. He's the boomstick. This is awesome.
If your two worst hitters are Kevin Kiermaier and Taylor Walls, who are like top three at their positions defensively, maybe arguably, I mean, that's great. You really can't go wrong there.
Jeremy Frank on Twitter posted, if Wander Franco and Nelson Cruz line up consecutively in the Rays order, they'll be the first duo to hit back-to-back in a starting lineup where one player is twice as old as the other since Ozzie Albies hit in front of R.A. Dickey for the Braves in 2017.
Also, as we record, the Yankees are up 3-1 in Boston, which means if that score holds, the Rays will be in first place tonight, tied with the Red Sox after the Rays come from behind win. exciting stuff.
I feel like acquiring Nelson Cruz is like when you get into an argument with your friends in high school or whatever, and then like you come back with your big friend the next time. You know what I'm talking about? You've got that one friend who's just like much taller than everybody else. And you're like, next time puberty, you start
6 months
like,
early.
My friend on the football team is walking with me or whatever. Like,
I can't
like
wait for Nelson Cruz versus Jordan Montgomery next week at the Trop.
Mm.
That's tasty.
I dare you to throw it in Mike Brusso's head now.
My only question is whether John Heyman thinks he can take a victory lap today after tweeting earlier today. Razor said to be looking for a big bat. Nelson Cruz would fit that description.
His agent that sends him that tips, you know, he should send him a nice little edible arrangement or something.
Yeah, I'm not acknowledging Heyman.
Or just a nice edible. He'd be more tolerable on Twitter.
All right. This might be time to land this plane. It's been a fun one.
Any final thoughts on how do we land this?
The Rays made a huge splash trade that is leading the baseball Twitterverse and newsverse. And they landed a huge, like, star hitting player. That's just cool. That's cool. That's not a thing that happens often. So let's embrace it and let's be excited that one of the star hitters that could possibly be traded at the deadline, the Rays landed that person. This is the Jason Bay thing that didn't happen, right? This is that all the way back to 2008 where you're like, oh, the Rays might make a big splash move to add that all-star hitter that we are looking for. The Rays did it this year. They're the center of the trade hot stove right now, and that's super cool.
And by the Rays doing it, you prevent Nelson Cruz from going to a rival team who also probably could have used a player of his quality as well.
Oakland was a huge talk about them adding them. That could be a team that you play in the wild card round. That could be a team you play in the ALDS. The White Sox could potentially throw in a DH after Tony La Russa ruined their last one. There's a lot of teams. Boston, maybe you throw them in there just to have the worst defensive outfield with either JD Martinez and him. The Yankees, just to have no people that can play the outfield. It's so much nicer to have Nelson Cruz in your lineup than another one. Yeah, exactly. Like you said.
For sure. And it sets the bar not cheap, right, for these other acquisitions that might happen. That's another reason why we're excited. I mean, this is just the right move. I mean, even in like 2010, when Stuart Sternberg is interviewed and he asks whether they have any regrets back then, that's the year you figured they would trade for Cliff Lee. Back then, Stu Sternberg was saying like, oh, we should have traded for a bat. In 2008, they felt like they should have traded for a bat too. So I like your Jason Bay connection there because, yeah, the Rays traded for a bat this time. Let's see how it goes. Let's see if history is written a little differently.
Well, that's going to do it for our instant react. It was a long one, a good one, an exciting one, as it should be. We're going to have a ton more trade deadline content next week. There's going to be more moves made. I'm sure the Rays will be involved. Maybe not this caliber, but who knows? I'm kind of shocked we're doing this podcast today on July 22nd, so we'll see. Thank you to Danny and Darby for hopping on. Thank you to everyone for listening. As always, make sure to head on over to draysbay.com to check out all of the great Rays coverage, including of the 2021 MLB draft and of the trade for Nelson Cruz. I'll talk to you guys next week.